You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine coming to you with the weekly wrap for the week ended the 8th of December. And shock horror, back with me today is Mark Edwards. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. It's a couple of weeks away from the microphone.
Yeah, thanks for coming back after swanning around the cricket ovals of Australia. And what else were you doing?
Oh, just, sort of in the background there. But it was great to hear Craig and Adrian on the podcast last couple of weeks. They were great, weren't they?
Yeah, actually, they were great company, so look out.
Yeah, absolutely. What's been happening in your world, Sam?
Well, the new magazines have arrived. So they arrived yesterday with Kylie Maxwell from LJ Hooker Queen Bianne and Marcel Dibner from Besser & Co. on the APM cover, and they look great. They took their time coming, though, because obviously Christmas time and, you know, big offset printer printing a lot of Christmas catalogues, and apparently there was some sort
of... someone had a printer jam.
Most massive, epic printer jam ever. Yeah. And they were a couple of days behind. So don't worry, people, they are on their way to you.
They're on the Australia Post camels as we speak.
Who are much more reliable than printers at Christmas time, hey?
It seems so.
So the new issues are out. We've got lots of stuff going on. So in the new issue, you're going to see the Altman brothers, Josh and Matt Altman, are coming back to Australia. We had a special guest interviewer interview them for the magazine. It won't be in this issue, but it will be in the following issue. But they're coming back down under to do their $1 million evening tour, and really excited to get to meet them again.
Mm. We caught up with them last year, didn't we? Yeah, so when they were in Sydney and Melbourne.
Yeah, that's right. And since then, Josh is married with child.
Yes.
And
he's been busy.
Been busy, family man, settled down. So it'd be interesting to catch up with him again. And we also have a special subscription offer on. So if you want a silver ticket in Sydney or Melbourne, mm-hmm. on the 2nd or 3rd of March, and you want a two-year subscription to Elite Agent, we're doing a two-for-one deal. So normally the ticket would cost you $79. The two-year subscription costs you $149.
We're basically throwing the
ticket in. So if you want to come and see Josh and Matt, please do get on that. So that's the Altmans. What else have you got?
Look, we've announced the finalists to the Pimp My Shopfront competition. That's $10,000, courtesy of Vitrine Media, to upgrade a shopfront window. We've got five contestants from around Australia, so I think there might be a few frequent flyers that might be going into action if
the Mighty Mikes
might be heading over to Western Australia. Anyway, if you go to eliteagent.com.au/shopfront, you'll be able to vote for one of your five favourites. The agencies themselves are going to be able to enlist as many people as they possibly can to be able to vote. So at the end of the day, the person with the most votes...
On the 21st of December at 5 p.m. That's Eastern Daylight Saving time, not Eastern Standard Time. So mate against mate, state against state, get on there and vote for your favourite. Or alternately, just vote for the person who you think needs it the most.
There are some...
I've seen some of those shop fronts, and with all due respect...
They need some help.
They need help, yep.
So anyway... we've got Asset Edge Residential from Subiaco in West Australia, Coastal Real Estate Milton in Ulladulla in New South Wales.
Oh, it's beautiful down there. It's not far from Gerringong. Not far from where our last year's winner was.
Elders Real Estate Wodonga in Victoria.
Oh, hang on.
Victoria. Yes. Someone will notice it, I'm sure.
There's a spelling error in the magazine. Victoria spelt NSW.
There's always one, folks.
Yeah.
New Image Real Estate from Marsden in Queensland. And finally, Owens Casley in beautiful McLaren Vale in South Australia. So good luck, everyone.
I wouldn't mind putting up a few screens for a site inspection down there. If you're listening, Nathan, Alex,
Get a nice little weekend.
Okay, moving along. So movers and shakers this week. This is a weird time of the year, isn't it?
Because it is.
There's actually a few moves going on that we know about that we're not supposed to know about, right? So it's when people sort of tend to merge and
you call it the great agent migration.
The great agent migration, yeah.
These are mostly just agencies actually doing the moves themselves. So REA's moved into a new digs in West Australia, in Perth.
Yep.
Coronis, they've opened up a couple of offices up in the Sunshine Coast and the Gold Coast. Remax have moved into their new digs in Labrador. Brandon Horn. They've got some new offices out west.
In Sydney.
So a few new offices that are opening up. So good luck to everyone with their brand new offices there.
Yeah. So just around our website at the moment, I mean, we're sort of doing a bit of tidying up. Like, we've got two more of these to go before the end of the year. This is like the third last podcast that we will do in 2017.
It's crazy how the year has just disappeared so quickly on us, isn't it?
I know.
We've been doing a little bit of tidying up and seeing what's been trending throughout the year. There's been some really popular posts throughout the year, hasn't there?
Well, yeah, our readership has grown incredibly in 2017, so just quick thank you guys for supporting us and taking a look at our news, because every little bit helps when it sort of comes to keeping the lights on.
Absolutely.
And all that sort of stuff. But we've still got more to come for the year. So obviously we had our event a couple of weeks ago, and we haven't really talked that much about that because you've been busy off at the cricket and all those things. But
yeah, rub it in.
So we've sort of had this week a couple of the speakers, as always, interviewing the speakers on the media wall. So we've had Chris Hanley talking about his approach to leadership and his approach to recruitment, which was really good fun. We've had Ewan Morton.
Yeah, he came out yesterday, didn't he? Yep,
and I think I made the comment in the brief on Friday that he stands very tall among leaders in Australia in real estate,
box,
and it's just, that was nothing about the height difference between him and Azzel, I can assure you all. So there's a lot more coming from Win 2018 there as well. This week also saw the last results for housing values for this year.
Yes.
And again, very consistent with the last couple of months.
Yeah.
So
it's been a consistent trend, hasn't it?
Yeah, so Sydney's sort of softening again. Hobart, again, the standout performer.
There's no real surprises, was there?
Yeah, there was no real surprises.
One stat that I did find that was really interesting, though, was just the impact that Sydney and Melbourne has on the movement. So, for example, you may have Darwin, Canberra and Hobart, you know, so they may go gangbusters.
And then Sydney.
But if Sydney sneezes, because it represents a third of the overall housing market value, it can just wipe all those gains away. So it was really interesting light that Tim Lawless from CoreLogic, it was a really interesting light that he actually shone on how the numbers can be influenced by the behemoth markets of Sydney and Melbourne.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's why you sort of don't look at just headline numbers. You've got to dig a little bit deeper.
Absolutely.
New South Wales, of course, closely followed by Victoria, according to HIA's figures, are the top states for building new homes in the last quarter.
No surprises there.
And also, what do you know, interest rates on hold.
Shock.
I know. Yeah.
Breaking news.
I mean, we'll wait and see what happens next year, but, you know, obviously.
Well, they're having a break, aren't they? They're not going to be coming in for they're not coming to the office on the first week of January.
That's right. They'll have the 000 on, and there will be no meeting in January. We'll all have to wait till February for the next GIF in the brief. Moving right along. Bankwest came out with a study this week on Monday or Tuesday. They released their study looking at what an average buyer needs for a deposit on a home.
The interesting part of that, though, is how long it actually takes to save for it.
And how long it takes to save for it, yeah. So the average 20% deposit now sits at $111,000 for a median-priced home in Australia, according to their study. So the average time on a median wage to save for a housing deposit is 4.6 years. So that's actually not too bad, I suppose, when you look at it. But then what do you have to sacrifice to get there, and what is that going to get you? But this study also broke down, quite interestingly, WA's Peppermint Grove and Mosman in Sydney, or Mosman, is 20 years.
So to save for a housing deposit.
But quite interesting. So if you've got buyers that are sort of wondering how long they think it might take, there's some good numbers there for you to look up. Speaking of numbers, would you
be patient enough to save 20 years for a deposit?
Oh, no. I want it now. Patience is not one of my virtues. You of all people should know that. Speaking of numbers, Australians of real estate. So you got your calculator out, didn't you?
I did.
Got out your lead pencil and...
Got the lead pencil out, got the calculator out, dusted off the keyboard and fired up Excel.
Yeah.
Man, I had fun.
So census results. So census 2016, after they managed to get the computer rebooted and up and everyone filled in their details.
Someone plugged it back in again
and they had power. Census 2016 told us that the average Australian was a 38-year-old female, basically, born in Australia, who spends somewhere between 5 and 14 hours a week on domestic duties or unpaid labour. And what they do with the census is they deliver those top numbers, and then what they do is then they fill filter it down so that we get gradually more granularity on the data that comes in. And so basically about six, 8 weeks ago, they delivered the numbers based on occupation. So that then allowed us to take all Australians and just look at the data set who are employed in real estate. Now, this didn't differentiate between sales and property management, obviously, but you could differentiate the numbers of people that were in real estate and also said they were in sales.
Yep.
You could almost deduce from that that the balance are in PM.
Yeah, well, there was a way in which you could split out between business owners, people that were employees, and then you can break out employees as to whether they're in sales or administration or other. So administration, you could probably fairly accurately suggest that they are property managers or administrative staff of some sort.
Mm.
There were some interesting numbers that came out of it, though. There's more women that are in the industry than males.
Well, that's the end to a debate, really, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? So it was 57%.
Yeah, but then that's consistent with Australia because there are more women in Australia now, sorry.
It was a it was a fairly representative cross-section of the actual headline numbers from the census.
Yeah, so we know that they weren't fibbing to us. So basically, 109,930 employees in the industry, according to the census, and 24% of your own businesses. Men make up 43% of the industry and women 57%.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing 15% of men being business owners and 9% of women being business owners. So that's a little bit of a difference there. And then men, we're seeing 10% work in management and women 8% work in management. And then here's where it starts getting fun. Like 3% of men work in admin, 20% of women work in admin. And then, you know, we sort of had a 30%, 30% split in sales.
Completely even in sales. So that was quite interesting.
Yeah.
It also identified pay gaps or, you know, sort of pay ranges, ages. There's 30 people in their 90s that are in the industry.
Yeah, I know. Look, if any of you are listening, I've sort of done the shout out a couple of times. I'd really love to meet you. It's worth sort of talking about this income distribution a bit too, because everyone sort of has this vision of this high-flying agent in their minds driving a Ferrari around, etc. But the average wage in real estate in the industry in Australia is $71,742.
Yeah.
So that's kind of not amazing. Somebody said to me the other day, 10% of the industry earn 90% of the money. And I mean, that's staggering.
It is, isn't it?
And then we sort of looked at men versus women with the average age, and the average wage of a man in real estate is nearly $90,000. Whereas the average for a woman
average wage,
is
$58,500.
So there's quite a big gap there.
And there's more women in the industry. So put all those numbers together, there's some interesting sort of stats that will fall out of it.
Yeah, and I mean, you play it out in your mind as well, and when you sort of look at the hours worked by gender, so in some cases women are working more hours, but in other cases women are still at home looking after the kids, working less hours. So I suppose the 58,000 would take into account the fact that it's
the less hours that they're actually
less hours working. But
yeah, there's definitely not a right or wrong answer in this.
No.
It was just quite interesting when the numbers were starting to fall out from the census numbers. Like, more than double the amount of men work more than 49 hours a week than women. But in the 35 to 39 and 40 hour brackets, it's almost double the amount of women in that bracket than there are men.
Once you get into the big hours, like in the average hours, women are working more of the sort of 37 and a half hour week than men do, which I suppose, again, is consistent with more of an administration or a property management role, let's say. But then when you get into the big hours, the graph looks much, much bigger in terms of the hours that men are working per week. I also thought what was interesting in this survey too was that, you know, when you look at the income distribution by state, because the census people are very nice and they break everything down by down by Australian states for us as well, is that the average income in New South Wales is $73,828. Per annum. And that's fairly similar to Victoria, and even the Northern Territory is all around that 73,000. But wait till you get to Canberra, the nation's capital, 83,462. So it sounds like they're paying people much better. But then anecdotally in Canberra, there's a lot of stuff around environmentally friendly buildings and things like that. And I think agents on the whole, they need to be more technically skilled because of those little quirks in the legislation down there. So
as I said, there's a lot of data, there's a lot of stats. I think there's probably going to be more that will come out over the holidays when people, you know, sort of get their teeth into what it looks like. But head over to the show notes below, you'll be able to see some of the data that's fallen out of it.
Yeah, and if you would like to know something that we haven't reported on or a statistic that we haven't looked at,
then drop me an email.
Yeah, drop Mark an email, marketeliteagent.com.au, and we'll try and answer your questions as best we can.
Yep, lots of fun. There was also another interesting piece that was played out over a couple of days, which was voice search.
Yeah, so Alexa.
Alexa and Google Home.
Yeah, yeah, so Amazon landed in Australia today in a blaze of nothing, really.
In a blaze of beige.
You know, everyone was going, oh, Amazon.
Amazon's coming out. Oh, it's here.
Good. Okay, not very exciting. But what is exciting is Google Home and the Amazon Echo, which are the speaker-driven Siri kind of devices, which do things like set alarms and, you know, you can tell it to tell you a joke. So you can say, Alexa, tell me a joke. Mm. You know, tell me a dad joke. A horse walks into a bar.
It's a wide, long face. But I think there's a ton of practical applications for the one that I was thinking about was dancing around the kitchen and thinking, oh, bugger, I need some olive oil. I said, hey, Google, add olive oil to the shopping list.
And there you have it.
And there you go. The microphone arrays on these things are absolutely incredible. So you can be basically talking at it from anywhere in the house and it picks up that cue word of, hey, Google, or hey, Alexa. Or
hey, Alexa, yeah. It's going to be one for me under the tree.
Hmm.
You don't need two women bossing you around, do you?
No. One's enough.
Could read the news, like, you know, like this is where trends sort of happen is if Alexa can read the news, if you can say, Alexa, read me the news, that might mean that we start sound engineering general articles on our website. Time magazine do it.
Yep, HBR, we're looking at doing it as well. Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's what you might be hearing from us next year. But anyway, moving along, depending on what apps you've got installed, because these speakers are the same as a mobile phone, really, it can recommend a restaurant. So, Alexa, I feel like chicken tonight. Where should I go?
Go to the pantry.
Sounds like an ad. Bad example. Hey, Alexa, I feel like Italian tonight.
Yeah.
Like, and then
recommend
they
me a restaurant.
Recommend me a restaurant. Amazon in the US did get to a point where they had a page up a few months ago on the US site, which was find an agent. And everyone in America went into tears because it was like, oh, my God, Amazon is going into real estate. Well, nothing really came of it because they put the page up. Someone took a screenshot, as they do, because the internet in 2017 means nothing is sacred. And so someone took a screenshot. Of course, it went viral. Everyone said Amazon's going into real estate.
And then the page is gone.
And then the page came down again. So thank God someone got the evidence. But what's happening now is that there are a couple of people that are kind of looking at that. And over in the US, sorry, before I move on, great article by Kylie Davis of CoreLogic, a great summary there of what Alexa and Google Home can do. So what these guys in the US are doing is they're looking at that and they're creating an app, and the app is called Agent Neo. Someone's obviously a fan of The Matrix. So now with this app, and there are agents beta trialing it in the US, and the model's a little bit different, but as I understand, you can say, hey, Alexa, what's the value of my house? And at the moment, this app kind of integrates into Zillow in the US, which is one of the kind of realestate.com.au. Or Alexa, there's a house I want to view down the road. Can you tell me when the open for inspections are?
Yeah.
Or can you arrange me an inspection? So this voice-activated search, I haven't made my predictions for 2018 yet. I must get onto that. But okay, so this is one of them, is that voice-activated search will be a thing.
You actually posted a video up of these guys doing the demo of Agent Neo, didn't you?
I did,
It was quite interesting. And so this, I think, again, is the extension of the technology not to disintermediate the agent. It's a connection mechanism.
Well, it's to make it easier to connect the consumer with you. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see what happens in Australia, because obviously, I mean, Amazon's only just here, Google have been here forever. What's next? And then, you know, like, how would that play out with the portals, I guess.
There's a lot more to come, so I think it's a watch this space. Yeah, absolutely.
So speaking of under the Christmas tree, Rock End have released some new products, which they told us about this week. So they've got an API into all of the...
Into a number of the inspection apps. Yeah. Yep.
And also there's that Invoice Genius, which some people might have seen at How to Lead a Winning Team, which actually is just this amazeballs thing.
I think we've spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, but if you have a look at majority of the invoices these days, it's got a barcode, a QR code on the bottom of there, which holds all the information about that particular invoice.
Yeah.
So instead of scanning invoices and, you know, sort of trying to interpret them and manually entering them, it uses the technology, obviously, that's built into the invoices and throws it straight into the system. It saves some crazy amount of time.
Yeah. So that's a lot about how great technology is now in the Department of Anti-Technology. Mm. We had Josh Fegan, because he's done a few of these customised videos for us.
Yep.
Doing
thanks, Josh.
Yeah, thanks, Josh. He's on holidays now. He's not listening. We can say whatever we like.
Josh, love your videos, mate. You look stunning.
He was talking about, you know, because he comes from a line of real estate agents. His father, Brian's a real estate agent. His grandfather, Arthur's a real estate agent. This yarn was about Arthur Fegan. Now I've heard it a couple of times, but it's quite good about how he sort of maintains contacts over 12 months.
Yep.
Obviously, there were no iPads when Arthur Fegan was selling real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So he used to go down to the local newsagents and buy himself 12 exercise books, the kind that you take to school. And yeah, that's where he used to write all of his deals in and who he had to remember in terms of anniversaries and birthdays and when they bought and sold their houses and all of that sort of thing. I think what Josh was trying to say is that technology is great, but you actually need a system behind it that works for you. And I think Arthur Fegan's system, you know, like if you can get...
Well, every day just picked up that exercise book, thumbed to the appropriate page, and then just went through the calls.
Well, that's it. You just have to keep 12 books on your desk and then go to December, you know, when it's time to work out who's naughty and nice.
You know what we also had? We had a lot of data, but we also had a number of business articles that came through. There was a great piece that started off the week from Sarah Gray from Rent360. It was taking that next step from being a PM into potentially sort of being an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really, really interesting read there.
Mm-hmm. We've still got some stuff coming out from Transform Masters as well. So there was just so many lessons and things created from there that we had Sharon Fox Slater's lesson came out. And I think that's really important because right now, let's say you and I are kind of evaluating all of our relationships or our supplier relationships at any rate for the new year.
I think it's important to do so. Just to keep yourself, you know, sort of abreast as to what's happening. If you're not keeping your eye on what's happening in the marketplace, then you may be, you know, sort of missing out on a trick.
Well, that's the thing. So things change. I mean, look, insurance is one of those relationships that, you know, everyone has because obviously you build a business up and you don't want to lose it. And in the world of insurance, things change. Like, I'm sure Arthur Fegan was not dealing with ransomware. The world changes so quickly that what you were insured for 12 months ago may not make sense now. I mean, what if you have to add your Google Home to your policy, for example? So, you know, like that sort of a conversation every year can be really useful. And Sharon kind of pointed that out too. You actually need a broker that's got your back, that doesn't want to sell you something. I love Sharon. She terrifies me in a way too, because every time I talk to Sharon, I think, have we got enough insurance?
Mm.
Because she thinks of all those things that normal people like us debatably don't think about.
Yes. The thing that I took away from me was you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And you don't typically go and self-diagnose yourself for an ailment. So the brokers are there essentially to be able to put a, you know, sort of steely eye over your business and go, all right, well, you may be right. Mm. You may be absolutely squeaky clean and have everything covered that you need to. But we've seen so many things that have happened even just this year on the cyber and ransomware front.
Scary stuff, hey?
Yeah, it's probably worthwhile just to, you know.
Probably good news resolution.
Absolutely.
Have a look at that. So wrapping it up for this week, because we want to let you all get on with your day or get on with your holiday. Really popular on the podcast this week was Ush Dhanak, and we haven't known Ush for that long, but she's had the top article of the year on eliteagent.com.au by a long way. All of the big guns, Tom Panos, John McGrath, Gavin Rubenstein, like this one article that Ush wrote on emotional intelligence just knocked it out of the park. And it's really weird. Like, as I said, we didn't really know Ush earlier in the year, and it was a slow news day. So a bit of a yarn here, slow news day. There I was sort of trawling through the usual ticketing system for news that comes in, and there was nothing there. But some people have got my personal email address, and so there was nothing in that pile. And I was almost ready to make something up, but, but didn't. There was a press release in my personal email from someone that I'd never heard of before talking about Ush, and I had a read of the article and I thought, hey, this is really good. And obviously it did hit a note with everyone. So then we got to know Ush a little bit better. And, you know, she's been doing some consulting in the industry. She spoke at our event and
she just came back from China too, didn't she?
Just came back from China, yeah. So it's been a bit of a whirlwind for her. But she also was kind enough to come in and spend some time with the Transform Masters crew. It wasn't part of the original curriculum. It was kind of like, oh yes, we want to make contact with Ush, can you bring her in? So we did, and the session that she gave was really interesting on resilience. So how Tom Panos always says, you know, that you need to make rejection your best friend, and these million-dollar agents have been rejected more times than you've made cold calls. How is that for an impersonation? I am waving my hands around. That's why he's laughing at me. But the thing is like in real estate, you know, you deal with people at their best and at their worst, right? Because sometimes they might be going through a divorce. They might be going through...
You never know what you're going to walk into.
Debt, divorce, disaster, all those D's. Sometimes people behave not as you would hope them to. So the thing is like when you've got people who are stressed around you and they're saying things to you that maybe they normally wouldn't because life's taken a toll on them, it's hard not to take it personally sometimes. And it's very common, not just in real estate, but just in life, that we all disappear down this rabbit hole of negative self-talk of, you know, this is what I've heard.
And sometimes you just keep falling, don't you?
Yeah, but it's not necessarily what the person meant. You know, you take it on personally. So they might say something that you don't like and you take it personally. And it's not what they meant at all. They didn't mean any harm or foul or anything by it. But when someone says something and you make it mean something else, then that actually harms you. And that's what resilience is really about. It's about the ability to get back up after suffering a setback and also not taking yourself down that rabbit hole. It was really interesting to listen to Ush go through some very measured steps to prevent that from happening. And I think, you know, like it doesn't matter whether you're in sales or you're in property management or even if you're someone who is not in real estate listening to this podcast, it is really worth going and having a listen to that session with Ush because even I got heaps out of that. So thanks, Ush. Love your work. I hope to see heaps more of you in 2018.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about it, Sam. I think we've got to call this a wrap.
I think we're going to call this a wrap. That's it. Third to last, two more to go.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to that break over Christmas. We're going to be pulling up stumps for a couple of weeks between the 22nd and the 8th, but you'll be hearing more of us over the coming weeks.
We'll look forward to more results, more stories, more interviews, and we will catch you very soon.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Bye.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.